Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today it's our unit on art. As we begin the new year, Happy New Year,
Happy
everybody.
Happy New Year.
Indeed. And we're going to start on a note of hope or on a musical note of hope or a glimmer of hope or whatever, because we're talking about cranes in today's program. Well, not exactly. We're talking about cranes that can be folded from paper. And if you talk about the art of folding paper, of course, you're talking about origami.
Yeah, which is a beautiful form of art, I think. I'm terrible at it, but anytime I run into origami, which is the folded paper into different shapes, I'm amazed at some people, their imagination, their skill. I can't do it. Have you done it before?
I tried before. Many years ago, we had a Japanese foreign exchange student live with us for a year.
Cool.
And as a gift, he gave us a book about origami.
Oh.
It was illustrated, so of course, anybody could understand it. Mm-hmm. You just follow the pictures. But I had trouble with the crane. It's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of practice.
Type of bird.
A crane, right? Yeah. That's exactly in our title here. Something about 1,000 cranes, which we'll get to later on. But yes, indeed, we are talking about origami and also this tale or the story of the 1,000 cranes. Let's find out what this is all about right now. Let's read. Those familiar with Japanese films, anime, and manga have probably come across a senbazuru, Japanese for 1,000 paper cranes. Held together with strings, the origami cranes are a visual symbol of an ancient Japanese belief. Anyone who folds 1,000 paper cranes will be granted a wish by the gods. Origami certainly has a long and meaningful history in Japan, but what are the origins of this beautiful art of paper folding? It's generally accepted that paper was invented in China in the 1st century and reached Japan by the 6th century. In Japan, the material was reserved for the elite because of its high cost and rarity. At first, Japanese monks created origami figures for religious purposes. In 1680, poet Ihara Saikaku referenced a paper model in one of his poems. The model, a traditional butterfly design, was used during Shinto weddings, showing that the art had made its way into public ceremonies. As paper became more affordable, more people started practicing origami. Eventually, it was even used as an educational tool to teach mathematical concepts. In 1797, the first published book about origami, written by Akisato Rito, came out. It featured instructions and illustrations, as well as descriptions of important customs, such as the legend of the Senbazuru. Later on, the legend would influence a girl named Sasaki Sadako, who died of leukemia at age 12. After learning her disease was a result of the atomic bomb that had been dropped on her hometown of Hiroshima, Sasaki attempted to fold 1,000 cranes, hoping to spread a message of peace with each one. Today, origami cranes have taken on this meaning worldwide. If it hadn't been for Sasaki's dedication, origami might not have become as universally loved as it is today.
So, because this is our art unit, we're going to be talking about art. This is one type of art I've never tried before, although I've always appreciated origami when I run into it. You see it a lot more if you are over here in Asia, but I actually saw origami in the States as well. So we're talking about outstanding origami. If it's outstanding, it stands out to you. It's special. It's not your average type of thing, something that catches your eye.
And, of course, origami caught the eye of Westerners quite some time ago.
Yeah. So it's outstanding, stands out from the crowd. So we've also got this tale or story of the 1,000 cranes. This is a very ancient tale that goes way back in time. We're going to talk about what it means. So if you're familiar with Japanese films, anime, manga, or manga, you've probably seen something called, what's a senbazuru? My Japanese is terrible.
I'm guessing senbazuru.
Senbazuru?
I guess sen means 1,000, you know, ichien, and bazuru refers to a crane, which is a kind of white bird.
Yeah. Hmm. With really long legs, you see this bird by the ocean. It's a bird that's... actually, we use crane for several types of birds, but yeah, look that up so you can see what it looks like. So 1,000 paper cranes. These paper cranes are part of that art of origami. So you fold, make lots of folds in the paper until... When you're done, it appears to be a crane, or it looks like a bird. It's held together with strings. The origami cranes are a visual symbol of an ancient Japanese belief, something that the Japanese believe, and they've believed it a long time. If it's visual, guys, it just means you can see it. So it's something that's a visual art. We'll often talk about the visual arts. The visual arts are painting, drawing. Origami would be a type of visual art. I'm a singer. That's not a visual art. You actually participate by listening or singing. So this is a visual symbol of this ancient Japanese belief.
Kind of cool because it's actually a three-dimensional symbol, whereas a lot of symbols are just two-dimensional.
Right.
Like the Christian cross, the Jewish Star of David, those are all two-dimensional. They're mostly represented on paper, but here the crane is three-dimensional. You can see it hanging from strings. It's pretty cool here. And, of course, it's a visual symbol of an ancient Japanese belief, and that belief is anyone who folds 1,000 paper cranes will be granted a wish by the gods. Okay, I guess I'm not going to get any wish from the gods because I can't even fold one. It's quite tricky to fold that crane.
Yeah.
I did try it once. You got to fold it into triangles, and then you have to back up and fold this under that, and then fold the other part there. Oh, it's quite complicated. My fingers are kind of big. I'm kind of clumsy with that. But, you know, this is an ancient Japanese belief. If you can fold 1,000 paper cranes, hey, the gods will grant you a wish.
Well, I would hope so, because that's a lot of work. I think you've earned that wish if you manage to fold 1,000 paper cranes. Origami certainly has a long and meaningful history in Japan. But what are the origins of this beautiful art of paper folding? The origins of something just means where did it start? Where did it come from? Who started this? It's usually someone's idea to begin with, but it's such an old art. I think some of the history behind some of these things that are that old, we're not quite sure, but there are legends, there are stories passed down about how something started.
Right, and we're using the plural form of origin here because nobody really knows exactly where it came from. It may have come from different places, or it came from, you know, this place in this form and then from another place in a different form, and then these two people got together and, you know, exchanged notes and came up with some new ideas. So we're talking about the different places where this thing originated. That's the verb to originate. So where did this art of paper folding originate?
Come from.
Yeah, where did it come from? What are the origins of this art of paper folding? Well, it's generally accepted that paper was invented in China in the first century, at least according to the Western calendar, and reached Japan by the 6th century. So the first century would be where the numbers were just 0 through 99, I guess. Or actually, I think that would actually count 100, technically speaking. Like the year 2000 was actually technically still part of the 19th century, or excuse me, the 20th century, but nobody cares about that. The year 2000 was the new millennium because there's a 2000 there. But in any case, this was the first century, and then the 6th century would be 500-something.
So it took quite a while for it to go from China to Japan. And in Japan, the material was reserved for the elite. because of its high cost and rarity. Back then, I think most things were expensive. We find out that anciently, even things like sugar was very expensive and only the elite had that, had access to it. If you're part of the elite, it means you're part of a special group, probably that has more money, more education. Maybe your status is royalty. Maybe you're part of the aristocracy. We still talk about the elite today. The elite in the United States would be people who went to the best schools. They have the best jobs. They hang out with really smart people. Those are the elite. But you can also have elite groups like elite athletes. Probably the best elite athletes are people who are playing professional sports, right? Professional soccer players, professional basketball players. Those are elite athletes. They're very, very good. They're the top of the class of whatever you're talking about. Or as we like to say, that they're the cream of the crop. Cream here is that nice cream that floats to the top of milk and is really rich. So if you're the cream of the crop, you're the best of the best.
Right. And of course, paper is a kind of material, which is something that can be made into other things. That's what we talk about, say, raw materials, for example, wood and oil and stuff like that. And so this particular paper, this material paper, could only be used by the elites. Rich people could afford it, and that's because of its high cost. It was expensive, and because of its rarity, which means the state of being rare. And if something's rare, that means you just don't see it very often. Like, it's very rare to see a tornado in Taiwan. So, of course, everybody wants to rush down to wherever a tornado is to see the tornado because of its rarity. Or snowfall in Taiwan is a rarity. That's why when snow falls on Yamingshan, for example, there's a huge traffic jam going up there for people to get up there and take pictures and post it online and stuff like that. But yeah, paper was rare at the time, so only certain people could afford it. And now we're going to take a break now, but please stay with us. We'll be right back after we hear from our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天的主题呢是跟日本的折纸艺术有关系。首先在一刚开始就提到了1000 paper cranes。这里指的呢就是1000只纸鹤。我们来看一下第一个空格的句子。然后呢后面接的是 Together with strings, the origami cranes are a visual symbol of an ancient Japanese belief.这里的主词是 the origami cranes, 也就是呢这个折纸的纸鹤呢，你是用这个细绳怎么样在一起，它就是一项日本古代信仰的视觉象征。这里是考同学们语法的问题，主词是纸鹤，纸鹤呢被用细绳串在一起，所以要用被动的方式来表达。第一题的标准答案我们就选择 C, held。接着第二个空格的句子写着 Origami certainly has a long and meaningful history in Japan, but what are the blank to of this beautiful art of paper folding? 当然咯，折纸呢在日本确实拥有着悠久又重要的历史，不过这种美丽折纸艺术的什么为何呢？其实有时候呢，在这一段最后一句就是为下一段来做一个引导跟开头。下一段谈的呢是折纸艺术的来源跟出处，所以搭配文意，我们来看一下第二题的选项 A. Panels 专家小组 B. Feasts 盛宴 C. Clinics 诊所D. Origins 指的是来源出处，所以搭配文意呢，这里要谈的是折纸艺术的来源跟出处。第二题的标准答案就选择 D. Origins。接着来看到第三个空格的题目 In Japan, the material was blank 3 for the elite because of its high cost and rarity. 以前呢纸是非常昂贵的，所以在日本这种材料因为价格高昂，数量又稀少，所以怎么样给这些呢权贵的阶层，指的是 the elite。 第三题 A 选项 enclosed围住圈起来 B. Reserved, 保留 C. Challenged, 挑战 D. Deposited, 放下放置这种呢纸非常的昂贵所以只保留给权贵阶层搭配文意第三题的标准答案选择 B. Reserved
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.Welcome back, guys. We're talking about this type of art that's very, very popular, and it's called origami. It's the art of paper folding, folding a piece of paper into a shape. And typically, there are shapes of animals or some sort of symbol. We're talking about the tale of the 1,000 cranes. A crane, of course, is a bird that you often see by the ocean or the sea.And we're talking about what it means. Well, supposedly this tale or this legend came from ancient Japanese that went something like, well, if you fold 1,000 paper cranes, you'll be granted a wish by the gods. So if you're granted a wish, you're given the opportunity to say what you want and that wish comes true. We often are granted wishes in fairy tales, you know, like the fairy godmother talks to Cinderella. And she says, what do you want? And her wishes are granted.
Okay, and at first, Japanese monks created origami figures for religious purposes. Hmm. So, of course, in different religions, we have monks who are people who, at least in Buddhism, they'll shave their heads and they'll live in a monastery and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So these Japanese monks, either in Buddhism or in, what's the Japanese one called? Shinto, yes.
Yeah.
They would create these figures for religious purposes.For religious ceremonies, and in 1680, we've got a poet here, Ihara Saikaku, or however you pronounce it in Nihongo. This person referenced a paper model in one of his poems. So if you're a poet, you write poems like T.S. Eliot or Li Bai. That's a poet, and if you're a poet, you write poems. So here, he referenced a paper model, or he made a reference to a paper model. In other words, in the poem, he was talking about this paper model, which is probably a reference to origami.
Yeah, so if you use this verb to reference here, it just means you mentioned something. Or if you're writing a paper for a class, like a research paper that's quite long, at the end you'll have references where you got your information from. You have to put those down. But here it just means he mentioned or talked about his butterfly design in one of his poems. It was a traditional butterfly design, and it was used during Shinto weddings. I haven't seen this butterfly design myself, but... Because this was in 1680, we know from history that this origami was still quite popular and that it had made its way into public ceremonies like weddings. A ceremony can be different types of ceremonies where there are specific formal actions that take place. Maybe there's a routine that people follow. There's a wedding ceremony. Another ceremony I can think of is like a church ceremony, like a baptismal ceremony where someone's baptized. So it had made its way into the public. So you could see some of this origami in different types of ceremonies.
Okay, so it was being used for religious purposes. And as paper became more affordable, more people started practicing origami. So, yes, it became more affordable, the paper. If something's affordable, that means you're able to pay for it. Many years ago, of course, cars...were only affordable to the rich. Only rich people could afford cars.
Or flying on an airplane. Remember that?
True. Yeah. The jet set in the 50s and 60s. Only rich people could afford to fly on jets.
Yeah.
But nowadays, of course, plane tickets are affordable. Cars are affordable. Pretty much anybody can own a car or fly to Hong Kong or Thailand or wherever. So paper became more common, more affordable, and people started practicing origami. Eventually, Finally, after a period of time, it was even used as an educational tool to teach mathematical concepts.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess there's with ratios and angles, all part of that folding there. So indeed, you could use a crane or a penguin or whatever, an origami turtle or whatever, to teach mathematical concepts. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, in the year 1797, the first published book about origami written by Akisato Rito came out. It came out, it was published then. That was the first book that you could actually buy in which you could learn about origami.
In this book, it featured instructions. Instructions are how to do something. And illustrations, as well as descriptions of important customs, such as the legend of the Senbazuru.
I would say Senbasuru.
Okay.
That's how I pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, follow Tom, not me.
I'm not Japanese.
I don't speak Japanese. Now, if you're talking about an illustration, it's probably a picture. Maybe it's an illustrated book, or you have a textbook that has illustrations. Could be a graph, a picture, something that shows what you're talking about. If you go into this line of work, you'll study illustration or graphics. You're an illustrator. You probably draw things that are used in books. We have a couple of illustrators here at AMC that are very good artists.
Sure. They draw some pretty cool pictures for the magazines and the publications and stuff like that. That is an illustrator. And the things that they draw are illustrations. So, yes, this book featured illustrations, pictures of how you're supposed to fold the paper with arrows pointing in the direction in which you're supposed to fold the paper.
Yeah, I would need that.
Yeah, it's very helpful that those illustrations were in that book that Mr. Makio gave us. By the way, Mr. Makio was our foreign exchange student who lived with my family, and he's the one who gave my family that book on origami so many years ago. Makio-san. But in any case here, let's go on to the next sentence here. It says, later on, the legend would influence a girl named Sasaki Sadako, who died of leukemia at age 12. Okay, so later on in history, we've got this legend of origami. It would influence this girl whose name was Sasaki Sadako. And she died of leukemia, which is a kind of bone cancer, is it? Or cancer of bone
marrow? Cancer of the blood.
Of the blood, of the blood. Yeah. Okay. And she died very tragically at the age of 12 years old after learning her disease was a result of the atomic bomb that had been dropped on her hometown of Hiroshima. Sasaki attempted to fold 1,000 cranes, hoping to spread a message of peace with each one. So that's the story there. The A-bomb, the atomic bomb, was dropped on Hiroshima, Guangdao, of course, as you know. And she got that disease because of the radiation that resulted from that bomb. And she got leukemia as a result. And I guess she knew that her days were numbered. So she thought, well, I'd like to leave something behind. I'm going to try to fold 1,000 cranes, according to that legend of Senbazuru. And she wanted to spread that message of peace with each one. And, of course, nowadays we know about her story.
So today, origami cranes have taken on this meaning worldwide of just being a message of peace, you know, that spread around the world. And if it hadn't been for this young girl who was furiously making these cranes before she was to pass away, we wouldn't have this meaning across the world, probably. Now, if you talk about someone's dedication, it means they commit a lot of time and heart to something. It's really important to them. You can be dedicated to your family, dedicated to your art. You could be dedicated to the environment if you really care about the earth.
Or you could be dedicated to the one you love. But in this case, of course, dedication is a noun. And that was her dedication, making those 1,000 cranes.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for her dedication, origami might not have become as universally loved as it is today. And if you talk about something universally loved or universally known about, that means pretty much everybody knows about it in the world. We don't know about the universe, actually, because it's big. But in any case, universally does refer to just people all over the world knowing about this. Yeah, pretty much everyone knows about the cranes and the story of the 1,000 cranes.
True.
So good for her. I'm glad she made that sacrifice before she passed away. And there you have it. Maybe you'll be inspired to go out and fold some cranes yourself. That brings us to the end of our lesson. But before we say goodbye, we'd like to hear from our Chinese teacher.
接着来看到第四个空格的题目。At first, Japanese monks created origami figures for blank for purposes. 一刚开始呢，日本的僧侣，他用这些折纸的这些模型是要做什么用呢？我们其实就知道，从僧侣来看，一定是跟他的宗教跟信仰有关系。第四题 A 选项 ,religious, 宗教的。B, innocent, 无辜的。C, scientific, 科学的。D, medical, 医学的。搭配文意，僧侣用折纸呢，是用来表达一些宗教的目的。第四题的标准答案就选择 A, religious。接着第五个空格的句子。The model, a traditional butterfly design, was used during Shinto weddings, showing that the art had blank five into public ceremonies. 在这里谈到的是这种传统蝴蝶设计的形式呢，在日本的神道婚礼期间会使用，那这样一来就可以表示这种艺术是怎么样在公开的仪式当中。第五题 A, done its part.尽本分 B, caught its eye, 吸引人注意 C, lost its mind, 失去理智 D, made its way, 取得成功这样子的艺术呢很成功的进入到公开的仪式也出现在公开仪式当中搭配文意第五题的标准答案就选择 D, made its way第六个空格 ,In 1797, the first blank six book about origami written by Akisato Rito came out. 这里要考考同学,主词是第一本怎样的书?第一本有关于折纸的书,动词是 came out, 是出版的意思,出现在市场上,这个年代呢是1797年。我们要考考同学 ,publish 这个字是出版,书呢是被出版,所以要用被动的方式来表达。第六题我们答案就选择 C,published. 第七个空格 If it hadn't been for Sasaki's dedication, origami blank seven as universally loved as it is today. 这里要说的是呢，要不是佐佐木的贡献的话，那么纸鹤是不可能像现在怎么样受到喜爱。要考的是动词的形式，我们要注意到的呢，是在假设语气当中，前后文句它的时态呢，通常是一致的。所以当时，那么呢，要不是他的努力，与过去事实相反，我们要用的是过去完成式的 hadn't been。后面的句子就要用主词加上助动词，助动词要以过去式的方式呈现，再加上完成式。所以要不是有他的努力，那么纸鹤也不会像现在一样呢，这么样子的成为被大家所接受的状态。所以第七题，标准答案，我们就要选择 B, might not have become. OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.